We could have a new Treasury Secretary by the end of the day. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Today, the Senate is expected to vote on President Trump's nominee for Treasury Secretary, former Goldman Sachs executive Steven Mnuchin. Betting is the vote will go his way. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports on the man who is about to take one of the most powerful economic policy positions in the world.
The Treasury Secretary basically manages the nation's bank account. The department gathers money by enforcing tax policy, distributes it by printing money, and does a host of other jobs.
The Treasury Secretary is one of the most important economic and financial policymakers in the entire United States government.
Dennis Kelleher is president of Better Markets, which supports Wall Street reform. He's worried about what Mnuchin and President Trump will do to current financial industry regulations.
It sounds like they're going to start rolling back financial reform and unleashing Wall Street and deregulating it.
But top on the agenda seems to be Trump's tax plan. Daniel Heath is at the Georgetown University Law Center. He says Mnuchin, if confirmed,
will be the prime representative of the president on the Hill in selling the package. And so that'll be a test of his relationships with the senators and representatives.
Some of whom still remember Mnuchin's controversial role profiting from foreclosures during the housing crisis. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
So President Trump has called on his soon-to-be Treasury Secretary to review the post-financial crisis reform law. Wall Street feels its profits are hamstrung by parts of this. Critics worry that too much deregulation could lead to another taxpayer bailout. Marketplace's economics contributor Chris Farrell's been studying up on a third way. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So what's the thought?
Call it the rainy day fund idea. It's much higher capital ratios in exchange for less regulation.
All right. So not just less regulation. If financial companies did something, they might then be eligible for less financial regulation.
Right. In times of trouble, they would have this cushion, this rainy day fund that they could turn to absorb the losses. And Federal Reserve Board Chairman Alan Greenspan, he wrote an article in the Financial Times. He said, look, if the banks had this 20 to 30% capital ratio, we don't need as much regulation. And the consumer can worry less, or the taxpayer really can worry less about this too big to fail phenomenon, which just says, you know what, if you're the head of a big bank, you want to make as many big bets as you can, because it's a world of tails. I win, and if I lose, the taxpayer picks up the bill.
But the thing is, when a financial company has bigger buffers, has their rainy day fund, that capital is a little less productive. It's hard to make money off of the money you're saving for a rainy day.
Oh, it's a lot harder to make money. It's harder to make profit. But what the economists are telling a story, David. Bank regulation has gotten too complicated. The Glass-Steagall Act, which was the response to the Great Depression, 37 pages. Dodd-Frank, 2,300 pages. And that's before you count all the additions. So keep it simple is the lesson. High capital ratios, less regulation, banks will still lend, senior management makes less money.
Yeah, but it's a bit like, I would compare this to the carbon tax, a tax on carbon to limit climate change. Many economists agree on that one, but not so much the politicians and those who lobby the politicians.
Right. So the difference between the carbon tax and this idea is that we've all went through the 2008 credit crunch, and people don't want to go through that again. And I think this idea has a lot of appeal, particularly people who were repulsed by these bank bailouts. And this is a way of perhaps setting up a system where we don't have to do that again. The carbon tax is much more abstract, and we have to have faith that the economists are right. But I do think the politics of higher capital ratios may be different.
All right. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
After a few years of super low crude oil prices, the great global glut appears to be easing. Big oil-producing countries agreed late last year to limit production, and the deal generally holding. Oil is above $53 a barrel, even though that's down 0.6% this morning from our bureau at Oregon Public Broadcasting. Mitchell Hartman takes a practical look.
The International Energy Agency reports crude oil production fell by 1 million barrels a day in January. That was the first month most of the oil exporting countries in the agreement were limiting output. It's a surprise, says energy analyst Daniel Juergen, vice chairman at IHS Market.
Often you see a lot of noncompliance, otherwise known as cheating.
But Juergen says those countries were hurt so much by rock-bottom prices, they're complying with production quotas to push oil prices higher. And it appears to be working, as Shell CEO Ben van Beurden recently told the BBC.
The actions of OPEC and non-OPEC have been extremely helpful to really bring that balancing point between supply and demand.
Juergen doesn't expect supplies to drop further because U.S. shale oil fields idled during the global glut are becoming profitable again.
And our view is that we are going to see a big recovery in U.S. oil production.
Juergen thinks that additional domestic supply should help prevent any big rise in prices Americans pay at the pump. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And how to become a future president? George W. Bush is a president's scion who used to own a Major League Baseball team, the Texas Rangers. Well, Jared Kushner, a president's scion-in-law, could soon own a Major League Baseball team. Several published reports say that Kushner's family business is in talks to buy the Florida Marlins. Kushner is a senior advisor to President Trump and is married to the president's daughter. George W. Bush became the 43rd president of the United States of America, just saying. I'm David Brancaccio. Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.